Back here on 790 The Ticket Roundtable with Rashad Butler, Brian Monroe. Just saw Joe Zagacki out there. Made sure he was hydrated, making sure he doesn't cramp.
I love it.
For his hurricane.
For real,
his
right?
Hurricane Hotline show. Got to make sure you're hydrated, you know?
Well, by the way, I don't know if you heard, but post game was a bloodbath.
Oh, I bet.
In terms of what do you mean?
A bloodbath with me and Hollywood. Phone lines. Listen, you can ask Vlad.
Man.
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine
it was a bloodbath.
They were dropping words in there.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. And all of it well deserved, right?
Yeah.
And Solana called in.
Yeah, Solana called in.
Last call of the night.
Okay, listen. We actually had, about three FIU callers call in, and they were like, listen, bro, give us our respect. I'm like, hey, you know what? Congratulations. You guys deserve it.
There's nothing else you can say.
Exactly.
They came in, they had a good game plan, they won. Congrats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No doubt. Yeah, completely agree. We're going to talk to Adam Beasley here in about 20 minutes or so as he covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, I should say. We were talking about this before the break. We were talking about it during the break. I told you guys to stop because the best conversations typically happen off the air.
True.
And you got to recognize, hey, I got to save this for the radio. So we're talking so right now, depending on which website you go to, right, the Dolphins are either third or fourth in the reversed NFL standings, right?
Correct.
So if I go to tankathon.com right now,
The
Dolphins have the third pick in the draft,
mm-hmm.
okay? There's three teams tied at 2-9, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Redskins. So then it goes who has the worst strength of schedule to the best.
Mm-hmm.
Giants have the worst, the Dolphins have the second worst, or the second best, and the Redskins have the best strength of schedule, meaning they are fourth in the draft order.
Mm-hmm.
On NFL.com, the Dolphins have a better strength of schedule by like 60 points.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the disconnect? The only thing I can think of is that other websites are using the current strength of schedule up to this point in the season,
mm-hmm.
and the NFL is using all 16 teams' combined record already.
Probably.
That's the only thing I can think mm-hmm. is the difference here.
Which I'm assuming that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I guess, who do the Dolphins have left? They have the Patriots, who are 10-1.
Correct.
They got the Patriots, they got the Bengals, they got the Eagles.
So the Patriots and Bengals cancel each other out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got
the Jets.
The Giants and Jets, which are both
Eagles.
Several games under 500, and the Eagles, who are one game.
Uh-huh.
So, the Dolphins' remaining strength of schedule is a negative as is.
Whoa.
What?
They might be thinking that certain teams that's on their schedule are going to have some wins, and that's why.
Okay, but you can't project that out.
Well, here you go. You got 5-win Philly, 4-win Jets, 2-win, 0-win, and 10-win.
Okay, so the Dolphins' strength of schedule on every other website is 0.506. On the NFL's website, it's like 0.560.
Okay, but now.
So where does the 60 points come from? Because the remaining strength of schedule is under 500.
Could be a mistake.
Okay, but let me ask you this
question. But it's NFL.com.
As of right now, and let's just say if the Dolphins happen to win maybe one or two more games and they stay at fourth, does it really matter as far as being fourth or being number one or being number two?
Well,
look at Washington's schedule. You got Carolina.
Well, their division is a damn joke, though.
Green Bay, Philly 5 wins, 2-win Giants, and 6-win Dallas.
Yeah.
That's stronger than the Dolphins, isn't it? The remaining.
Right.
That's where it has to come into.
That's why I'm so confused.
It has to be the remaining.
That's why I'm confused.
You're talking about only one team out of that is in below 500 except Philly.
That's why I'm so confused. The Dolphins having a 60-point jump in strength of schedule from where? From what? Where is that coming from? And because it's the NFL.com, it's the one that matters. Doesn't matter what tankathon.com has. Doesn't matter what, person on Twitter. Like, everybody else except for the NFL has the Dolphins drafting third.
Okay.
Now, to your point, Rashad, it's a big deal where the Dolphins finish.
Why?
Okay. We were talking about this during the break, so let me fill some people in, then we got to get to our Actually, play the headline bet so I don't get in trouble. Play the headline bet.
This is WAXYAM
I don't want to get in
South
trouble.
Miami and WSFS-FM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So, we were talking about this during the break, right? If the Dolphins finish fourth, fifth, or sixth, which, by the way, if they win one more game, they're putting themselves in a bad spot, in my opinion.
But why? I'm confused.
Because I think there's going to be several other teams that have three wins as well.
But we've heard this since the start of the season or even in the offseason that the guy they've been targeting is Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, but we also talked about this during the break. We don't know what that's going to look like in the offseason because we don't know where his health stands right now. The team doctors say, they're not drafting Tua Tagovailoa. Okay, and then who are you talking about? AJ Epenesa or whatever the hell his name is?
Uh-huh.
That's the guy you did all this for?
Well, no, I'm not taking him in the top five.
My point being, after Joe Burrow and Chase Young, it's.
Well, no, it's not. And you got two great tackles up top as well, which they do need for the future.
You're gonna literally kill your fan base if you did everything to draft a left tackle at three. You're gonna kill your fan base
again.
But hold on. People will slaughter themselves.
Okay, would you rather have Justin Herbert or a left tackle that's a Pro Bowler?
Hold on. But listen though, like I feel like that was out of the Dolphins' hands as far as Tua getting hurt. So I feel like the fan base would have to understand that. And if you're a Dolphins fan, if you can't understand that, then God bless your soul.
I'm sorry, man. I want Chase Young.
Why though?
Yeah, but you got.
What do you mean why? Because he's as dominant as it comes at that position.
You know what though? Rashad has made a great point about this every time we.
I know, I agree with his point.
It does not fit Flores' scheme.
I agree. But you know what? Lamar Jackson didn't fit Adam Gase's scheme.
Yeah, but
Lamar Jackson didn't fit anybody's
scheme.
But
that's the thing.
And you know what they did?
No.
You had a team that was willing to mold it around him.
Yes.
But that's a quarterback that's different than a defensive end.
When you look at building a team,
uh-huh. You take the quarterback over the pass rusher.
Look what Joey Bosa is doing right now.
But hold on. But mind you, though, Baltimore, they brought in Greg Roman, he had a guy by the name of Colin Kaepernick that excelled under his system in 2012.
Right, but they did that because of Lamar. We've had this conversation about Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk to Adam Beasley about it in about 15 minutes here. Lamar Jackson would have never succeeded here in Miami.
True.
Because Adam Gase and his huge ego would have never set that aside and say, my system doesn't fit this guy well, and he does what he does the best that it's ever been done, except for maybe Michael Vick, right?
Correct.
What Baltimore did was like, hey, man, this guy's really freaking good.
Uh-huh.
Let's make everything revolve around him, including us.
I hear you, but I still don't think – I agree with Brian. You can't compare a quarterback to an edge rusher. You just can't.
Well, I mean, the Dolphins' plan at edge rusher really seems to be working out.
I hear you.
Because Taco Charlton, who you got off the waiver wire in week three, leads the team in sacks. So you need to address that position.
Okay.
You do, but you have to do a scheme fit.
Mm-hmm. You have to be smart.
I don't disagree with you.
If you look at the Patriot way, it's their scheme. What guys fit their scheme?
Correct.
That's what they go after. And he said it. He goes, I'm not going to make the huge, big splash free agent acquisition.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get 2 to 3 guys that understand my scheme and spread out the money.
Correct.
So,
yeah, but that's free agency.
I understand that, but they're going to look at the same way in the draft, too.
Yeah, you have to.
They're going to look at the same way.
Let me tell you right now, and feel free to text in at 67974. If the Miami Dolphins draft a left tackle after all this.
Oh, yeah, after this.
Oh, my God.
It's going to suck.
You're going to try and sell season tickets with that?
But you can't. Mm-mm-mm. You can't say that though, because again, the guy that you had targeted at that position, he got hurt. That's out of their hands.
I agree with you.
Okay, I agree with you. Okay,
but
so
if you did all that and you got a left tackle, oh my God, you think people are going to be okay with? You think people are going to buy season tickets because you need to get people back in that stadium right now? Go to StubHub and find out how much those tickets are right now. There's $4 for a ticket to this.
Okay,
this
okay,
Sunday's
but hold
game.
On. So you mean to tell me if you were a general manager, you'd rather draft a guy that doesn't fit your scheme just
to
sell tickets?
I did not say that.
But you're leaning that way though.
I'm not leaning that. Personally, doesn't matter what scheme I have because I'm not Brian Flores and I'm not Chris Greer, who needs to hit a home run, by the way.
Correct.
I'm not choosing based off a scheme. I'm watching what I watch on Saturday and going, I want that guy.
You can't do that, though. You can't.
I'm putting myself in a fan's perspective.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, like, I'm not Chris Greer. Yeah. Besides, and look, I think we talked about this again, and I keep saying that. I think if they're at 4 or 5, they'll draft Tua if he's there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I do think that will happen. But if they identify Chase Young as a guy that they wanted, I think what they could do is draft Chase at 2, and they have plenty of ammo to find a team to trade back up with into the top 10. They have plenty of ammo. And also depends where that Steelers pick, because right now the freaking Steelers are ruining this thing. And Micah Fitzpatrick is really ruining this thing, because every damn Sunday, he makes a play that helps them win a damn game.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
But it's a long season.
It is.
A lot of things are going to change. Like, I know right now they're sitting in that last wild card position, but listen, you finally benched the bum and Mason Rudolph, and we got the duck coming on, but it's a long season, man. Anything can happen. I mean, you got the Browns, you got Cardinals. Eh.
Man, listen, if I'm the Dolphins, I'm drafting Tua no matter what.
With their first pick?
Why not?
What if they come back and say it's a 50-50 chance he gets to be back the same Tua?
If I got number one, I'm taking Burrow.
Okay, well, listen, if that's the
case. Oh, my goodness. You got to be kidding me.
What just happened?
This is what I'm talking about. This is what's wrong with the committee.
What just happened?
Ohio State jumped LSU.
One. Yeah, at number one.
Can they beat Penn State?
I don't care.
No, listen, I'm with you, bro. I'm just giving Zach.
This is the BS. What you're telling people is don't play anybody.
Uh-huh.
Play the softest schedule. Blow everybody out. Play the one ranked team that you play, and you beat them by what? What was it, 12? Even though you're supposed to beat them by 18 and a half.
No,
you couldn't cover. Because you finally played a decent team, and you jump a team that beat four top 10 teams? Come on, man.
Listen.
This is some –
listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen, patience, young grasshopper. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
So if the Dolphins had the number one pick, and like Brian said, if they say Tua 50-50, then you know what?
Burrow.
It has to be Burrow. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If you're taking the number one quarterback right now and you don't know what the extent of that injury is,
correct.
You have to go Burrow.
Yeah, correct. But I just feel like
– let's go, Dalton.
I feel like no matter what
– I mean, that's a great thing for
listen,
Dolphins fans.
After Joe Burrow comes off the board, I just feel like for the Dolphins, with that first pick in the first round, you have to take Tua because I feel like you can't get cute and try to hope that he's going to be there with that second pick in the first round or that third pick in the first round because I think
that's where you should be aggressive and trade back up, and you have plenty of ammo to do that. Like, he's not going to be there at 20 if you're – because right now the Dolphins' second pick in the first round is in the 20s because Pittsburgh's the wild card spot.
He ain't
going
to be there.
Yeah, he's not going to be there.
I think Pittsburgh's going to be 8-8.
I think Pittsburgh's going to finish
No, I say 7-9.
Okay, but 16, 17, okay. 18 in the draft order,
correct.
Right?
He's not going to be there.
What? Like, you don't think Atlanta, if you give them another 2 second-round picks, that they move back 5 or 6, they don't need a quarterback, right? They need the ammo to draft as many players as possible.
Yeah, but the scary one's the Chargers right now, in my opinion.
I agree.
They're sitting at 9.
But see, my thing is
– so that's when you identify a team in front of them who doesn't need a quarterback who might be willing to do business with.
Cardinals at 8.
But see, again, with me, I'm not trying to –
hey, we'll give you Josh Rosen back.
but see, for me, I'm not trying to deplete my assets in this draft for that. I just feel like go ahead and get your guy.
Listen, if here's another thing.
Plain and simple.
The Dolphins with that third first-round pick
because it's
or that first pick in the second round can trade back and get tons of ammo. Like, I don't think the Dolphins are depleting their ammo trading up 5 spots from 16 to 11 or whatever it may be. If the Dolphins walked out of the first round with, let's say hypothetically, put in whoever you want, Tua Tagovailoa and Chase Young, or Tua Tagovailoa and Andrew Thomas.
Okay.
That's a win. That's a win, man. That's a win. You don't need a third pick in the first round.
No, listen, for me, I think this team has a lot of needs. I think first and foremost, it's the quarterback. Anybody says otherwise, they're an idiot.
Yeah, like you discredit yourself if you say that.
Yeah. then second for me, I'm going to say tackle for sure.
Defensive end, man.
And then I'm going to say edge rusher.
Defensive end.
Well,
they
listen,
have
hold
no
on, hold on,
pressure.
Hold on. The reason I'm saying edge rusher last is just because understanding what this scheme is trying to do. And I feel like this scheme just doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the edge rusher as far as just to really
get after the
quarterback.
But they're going to have to get somebody who's effective. Because opposing quarterbacks are sitting back there and shaving their beards in the middle of a play.
But honestly, I feel like they will. But I feel like right now you need to get your quarterback and you need to get someone that can protect the quarterback, whether you want to address that in free agency or the draft. But I feel like for me, it is quarterback, tackle, and it is edge rusher.
Go ahead,
and then,
Brian.
And then last, secondary, quarterback.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, I don't got to. We don't got to. We'll keep with the Dolphins.
We'll talk about this later. You're visibly upset.
No, we'll talk about this later. But I'm with you. You got to build up front, right?
You have to.
Because if you look at their game before last, who'd they play?
The Browns.
Uh-huh.
Before the Browns game.
The Bills.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the Bills had 7 sacks. The Dolphins had 0 sacks.
Well, it's every week.
The Bills had 100-something yards rushing. The Dolphins had like 20-something yard rushing, 30-something yard rushing. You have to build up front. Now,
correct.
I get it. You need a pass rusher,
uh-huh.
and you need a tackle or two. What we're forgetting is that it also depends on what they get in free agency.
True,
That's going to completely change their draft board completely because for me, if I'm Chris Greer, I'm taking that money in free agency and identifying a tackle that has veteran presence to him and knows and has done in this league instead of a rookie might not pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to get a defensive end that's done it that fits my scheme. Mm-hmm. And then you can go into the draft and almost say I can get best available.
You want to guess where the Dolphins rank in sacks?
Yeah, go ahead. Dead last?
Dead last.
Yeah, of course.
Well, for me, real quick, I would get a tackle in free agency along with the guard, and then I would get secondary help, like a guy like a Byron Jones. Like, to me, those three positions would be my big money acquisitions as far as a corner safety and a guard and a tackle. And then everything else, I'll fill in the draft.
You wouldn't get a pass rusher, friend?
No.
No?
Nah.
Man, I just feel like I would need a veteran guy because if you look at the defensive ends in this team,
uh-huh.
they're all young.
Correct.
Right? There's no leader.
Mm-hmm.
I would want a defensive end that's a leader to show these young guys how to do it, how to be a pro, how to study the whole nine yards, mm-hmm. and then have some wisdom to understand play recognition up front.
I hear you.
Because these guys look lost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They look completely lost. But, I mean, to me, it changes all when free agency is done, right? Their board's going to completely shuffle because if they say, hey, we identified our left tackle and a right tackle, okay, we can take the tackles off the board.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be interesting.
It will.
Let's ask Adam Beasley.
How about that?
What his list of priority needs are for the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk to Beasley on the other side. He says he's battling a cold. I said, don't worry about it. We don't even have cough buttons here. We're all coughing and sneezing. I've heard every host cough or sneeze on the air. But we'll talk to Adam Beasley. Covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Next, here on the Roundtable on 790 The Ticket. Covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Also, our 790 The Ticket, Finn's insider, Adam Beasley. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Huntington, I hear you're very sick. Are you okay? Are you going to survive? Do you need me to bring you soup? I am kind of your neighbor, so.
See, okay. By putting it out there like that, it makes me feel like I'm a whiner. So I was just giving you a courtesy because I'm not feeling great. And if you don't recognize my sultry, dulcet voice.
Beasley, I was offering to bring you soup. Relax,
no,
buddy.
No, you were taking shots.
What are you talking about? Beasley. Beasley. Beasley, calm down, man.
I was going to ask you, of your round table, I know who King Arthur is. It's not you. Are you Gwendolyn?
Ooh. See, now you're taking. You know what? You know what? Hold on. I'm going to let him have it because he's sick. You know what? Like, I'm here for you, man. Like, I'm not going to let you bring me down to your level. Like, if you need anything, if you need some soup, I'm your neighbor. I'm not that far. You've done solids for me before. I'm here for you, bro. That's it. That's all. I'm not gonna fight back at you.
Beasley,
right?
Beasley, from his outfit from Riptide, that's exactly who he is in the round
I
table.
I agree.
That's exactly who he is.
Whoa, what did he wear?
He wore some mid-thigh pink shorts
right.
in a tank top.
In a tank top. Right. With sandals.
Right. Sun's out, buns
with sandals?
Out.
Sandals?
Yes.
Sun's out, buns out.
Of course sandals.
It's,
yeah,
it's the beach, guys. Am I supposed to wear shoes at the beach? God.
What's that?
Am I supposed to wear shoes at the beach? It's literally on the sand.
You could wear some dope swims.
No.
Well, I was going to go to bat for you here and said, you spend all but the 3 or 4 waking hours that you're in the studio sculpting that Adonis body of yours. Why wouldn't you want to show that off?
Thank you, Beasley. There we go. See, that's my guy right there.
Oh,
so, Bees, to get back to the serious discussions, we were just having this discussion right before you came on about the priority of needs for the Dolphins going forward. We all know quarterback's number one. If you don't admit, and not you, but if somebody else doesn't admit that, they're immediately discredited in terms of that conversation. But what's 2 and 3 for you? What's the specific order?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you what they need. How's that work? They need at least three starting offensive linemen. And we would presume left tackle is the highest priority of the three because it's the hardest to get. Although if they draft two, a right tackle is just as important because he's a left-hander. They need 2 running backs, 1 in free agency, 1 in the draft. They need at least 1, probably 2 starting wide receivers. They need a starting tight end. That right there, not even including quarterback, is like 7 needs on offense. So they have 8 needs on offense, because quarterback is obviously the most important. And on defense, they need 2 pass rushers. They need 2 linebackers. They need 2 corners and probably a safety. So you're talking again about 7 or 8 needs on defense. So you're just to have a competitive team next year, they need 15 starters, not role players. 15 starters. Yes, they have 14 draft picks. Maybe 5 or 6 of those guys would be starters, become starters based on law of averages. So that means they need to go find 8 starters in free agency. And I would say you go to the premium positions first: corner, defensive end, tackle, quarterback. You get those handled, you have a nucleus to build around, but it's hard to rank them. Quarterback's one, everything else is 1A because they're all just a glaring weakness on this team.
In terms of, we were having this discussion as well about Chase Young. If the Dolphins were at 2, right, and Burrow goes 1, is Chase Young a guy the Dolphins target? Because Rashad brings up a great point that the Dolphins' defensive system doesn't really rely on one guy to be the guy. It's more of like the way the Patriots do it. They kind of have a rotational set at defense. Or do they take Tua at 2? Or do they go somewhere else? Like, what is your philosophy as to where the Dolphins stand if they were to finish with the second overall pick?
Yeah, you know who helped make Bill Belichick's career? Lawrence Taylor. And he wasn't the rotational scheme guy. He was, I'm going to rip your head off because I could beat the offensive tackle every single time guy. So my guess is Brian Flores, like Bill Belichick, would be more than happy to have a player of that caliber. I'm not saying that that he's going to be the next LT. That's, you know, it's kind of crazy, but he is a really darn good player. So they would have no problem making him their draft pick if he's there at 2. But then what do you do at quarterback, right? Because let's say, I don't think the Texans and Steelers are both going to make the playoffs. That's pretty ambitious. One of those two teams will fall apart down the stretch. My guess is the Steelers. So you're probably going to be picking 2 or 3, 16 and 23, right? Those mm-hmm. are probably your picks in the first round. And if you use a top 5 pick on a defensive lineman, where's your quarterback come from? Well, correct. You'll probably have to package those two other picks together to get back into that top 10 and get Tua. If those are the two players that you emerge from this draft from, would you be happy with 3 picks?
I would be ecstatic.
You think that's a good use of the resources? And I largely agree.
In the first round, yeah, absolutely. You got those are two cornerstone pieces on each side of the ball.
Yeah, and I would gladly pass up which is basically a glorified third round pick for that the right to do that. I think that'd be a good night at the office for Chris Greer. So they have the flexibility to do that. Now, are they going to do that? The million dollar question that we don't have the answer to is, assuming he goes pro, which we don't even know that, mm-hmm. is Tua going to be the same?
Yes.
And whoever drafts him is going to be drafting on a hunch. They're going to have all the doctors in the world, and the combine is going to be incredibly important for Tua to go through the whole litany of tests he's going to have to go through. But they still aren't going to know until he's out there on the football field running around, dodging defensive linemen and throwing because an injury of that nature is a full year injury. It is. And would the Dolphins be wise to redshirt him for all of 2020 and just get through the year and then start from scratch in 2021? That's not the worst idea, but then again, you're burning a year of his 5-year contract. It's a tough spot, and it's probably why Tua is not going to go in the top 5. But if the Dolphins have the 3rd or 4th pick, I am fascinated what they're going to do. And if they can't get Ohio State, Tasmania, and Devil to go run after quarterbacks, are they going to use the number 3 or 4 pick on damaged goods? And that's what Tua is. My gut says no, that they would trade back later in the first round and hope he's still there, but that's a gamble as well. I'll tell you what, it's not ideal for the Dolphins because the ideal thing is them to have the number 1 pick and Joe Burrow and you go about your business. That's not going to happen. The Bengals aren't going to win 2 games over the last 5. It's just not going to happen. So it's kind of a gift to us, to reporters, to pundits, to even you, Zach, which I don't know if you're either of those. It's a gift to us because we'll have the next 5 months to discuss all the permutations, and the drama of draft night is going to be a blast.
Yeah, and that was our discussion we were having. We're like, okay, if you had 3, 4, 5, do you go ahead and take the chance of taking Tua there, or do you say, hey, I take the best available or move back? You know, because we just don't know with Tua, and that was my biggest thing is like, well, am I going to take a gamble with a top 5 pick, and what if he doesn't ever pan out, or he's not the same ever again?
What would the level of disappointment in South Florida be if they ended up tanking for Thomas, as in Andrew Thomas?
The last 3 things you said is exactly what I said before you got. Like I told these two guys, if they take the tackle at 3, 4, 5, and all this was for that, there would be pandemonium amongst Dolphins fans.
But Beasley, let me ask you this question real quick: if they are not 100% sold on Tua and his recovery, who is their contingency plan since they're not going to end up number 1 over the Bengals and get Joe Burrow as far as at quarterback?
Well, I mean, they take Young, right?
But no,
if
I'm saying
if they're there at 2. Well, I mean, but if they pick at 3, it's yikes.
No, but
I mean, here's what's really a mind blow, guys. they traded Laremy Tunsil, which I agreed with at the time because, you know, Tunsil's contract situation was going to make him very expensive to keep. But you'll end up basically trading Tunsil for the right to get that tackle from Georgia. I mean, I know that's not the compensation, but is two late firsts and a second, which is basically what the Dolphins end up getting from the Texans unless Houston falls apart, is that worth the number four pick of the draft?
Well, I guess my question was, if you're not sold on Tua, who is your contingency plan at quarterback if you know that you're not going to get Joe Burrow at the number one pick?
Oh.
That's the question.
He sounds so disappointed.
Yeah, well, it's throwing a dart at a dartboard at that point.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Because here's what a general manager, coach, and owner who have foresight and patience do.
Uh-huh.
They would punt on 2020, and they would get as many really, really, really good players as they can in this year's draft. And yes, you take Jalen Hurts or somebody in the second or third round.
Okay.
You take another developmental guy. You do that every year until you get it right. But then you go and build up your offensive and defensive lines. You maybe even trade back in the first if somebody loves Justin Herbert, which I do not. But somebody loves him and they're willing to give you two ones for the number four pick in the draft.
Oh, take it.
You do that.
Oh, yeah.
And you just keep building up as much capital as possible. And maybe Hurts and Teddy Bridgewater decides to come here next year because the foundation's stronger than it was last year. And then you have something working. And if that doesn't work, you might have three or four first-round picks again next year. And assuming the number one pick in the draft doesn't break his hip, you're going to be able to get a quarterback out of next year's class because there are so many good quarterbacks. And, again, I know it's what we said this past year, but there are really unforeseen circumstances that have brought us to this moment. Also, nobody saw – it's insane, guys. There are 3-2-9 teams. 1-0-11, 3-2-9, and I think the top nine or ten teams in the draft all have at least seven losses. That's bananas. Like, it is an abnormally bottom half,
yeah, top,
bottom
top
heavy year.
Top 12 teams have seven losses.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's an abnormally bottom heavy year in the draft. You would think that that's not going to happen again. And if the Dolphins have three or four picks, they can. If you build your roster this year and you package every pick in the draft next year, and I know probably whoever ends up with number one is not going to. You know, not gonna part ways with Trevor Lawrence, but Fields is gonna come out next year, and there's gonna be two or three other guys that we're not even talking about next year, and you're maybe even Tua doesn't come out and he rehabs a year and he'll be in the draft next year. There's nothing saying that they absolutely have to get their quarterback this year. I know that's not what Dolphins fans want to hear, particularly after how bad this year has been. But regardless of if they get their quarterback, you know, draft 1A or not this year, they're going to be better in 2020 because they're going to spend a ton of money and they're going to use a ton of draft picks to get themselves better. So my contingency would be take a guy that's got maybe a 30% chance of being a long-term NFL starter in the second round, save your draft capital for players that you're sold on, and then go and attack it again in 2021, which I'll be an old man by then.
Joined here by Adam H. Beasley, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. So I was a little bit confused today, and your coworker Barry Jackson tweeted this out today because on NFL.com, if you look at the standings, the Miami Dolphins have a strength of schedule winning percentage that I don't see anywhere else in the NFL, and it has them drafting fourth if the draft were to finish today. Everywhere else, Adam, it has the Dolphins at third. Like, I don't know if you've seen this or not. If you're aware of what what is the difference between these two strength of schedules?
My guess is the NFL used games the Dolphins have already played, and Tankathon and all the rest of those websites are using all 16 opponents.
Gotcha.
The strength of schedule is going to get a lot easier over the course of the last five games because they're playing a bunch of dog bleep teams.
Which is good for the Dolphins because you want the worst strength of schedule gets the higher draft pick if everybody's tied.
Well, the thing is, though, in Tankathon, that's already banked in. That's already baked in, so, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You want the Dolphins to lose to those teams, which will actually improve their strength of schedule. Here's the scenario. If the Dolphins lose out, they will likely have the number two pick. They will absolutely have at least a top three pick.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up with a top three pick, you can get Tua if you want Tua. And you can trade that pick for Justin Herbert if you don't love Justin Herbert. There are a lot of things you can do. you don't want to be picking four, and you certainly don't want to be picking five. That's how you end up with a tackle from Georgia if you're picking five. So you want to hear my conspiracy theory?
Go for it. They start Josh Rosen?
Oh, God.
Yeah, they play Fitzpatrick this week, and then the three-game stretch,
I'm with
Jets,
you.
Giants, and Bengals is when we see Josh Rosen.
And again, that's when the Bengals put Ryan Finley back for that Dolphins game, right? Checkmate, baby.
Do you think tickets will go for that game?
$2. $2.
Yeah, probably.
Give it to me for free.
It's unbelievable. Adam, good job, man. Appreciate it. If you need – what's your favorite kind of soup? Chicken noodle? Chicken tortilla?
You know, I had the missus pick me up some miso, which was really hit the spot.
All right.
I got through it. I soldiered through, didn't I?
No, you were great, man. I could tell you're sick.
Yeah, maybe I'm King Arthur.
I appreciate it. And if you need, I'm not going to, you know, you threw a jab, I'm not going to jab back.
Yeah, he's Bosh. You know, he's Bosh over here. Yeah. Me and my roar, LeBron and Wade. He's Bosh.
I'll take Bosh. He was the most important piece. So.
Oh, God.
Wow, the most important piece.
That's what Eric Spoelstra said.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he is full of bleep.
Adam,
LeBron James, the best player in the NBA history, was the most important piece.
Hey, all I know is just don't show up at the beach with me, all right? Sun's out, bun's out, all right?
I can't wait.
Adam, good job, man. Appreciate it, and get better, all right?
Thanks, man.
All right, Adam H. Beasley on Twitter is where you can check him out, all his good work. Really appreciated him there. I wanted to ask him more, but we're running way late, and he's not feeling good. And I didn't want to keep him on there too long. So you're right, 20 minutes already?
Yeah.
That flew by, man.
It did.
Good job there by Beasley. Dots real quick there, guys. I feel like he confirmed a lot of what I said.
A lot.
The one we didn't talk about was trading back, right? So if you got the fourth pick and someone – or the third – let's say the third pick, right?
Uh-huh.
Because let's just assume Joe Burrow goes number one.
Correct.
That whoever gets number two wants to take Chase Young.
Uh-huh.
Well, now that number three spot, it looks like Justin Herbert's going to be that sexy quarterback pick. Who's willing to move up? Now, if somebody's moving the wheel up from like six, seven, you can pick up an extra first-round pick and maybe a second-round pick. Then you can take Tua at that seventh pick, and it's cool, and pick up another first.
Well, listen – I get that, and Beasley said some things that made a lot of sense, but the thing that's going to be most interesting to me is your contingency plan if reports come back from, you know, your doctors that, listen, this guy is 50-50, we don't know. I mean, do you go out and trade for a guy like Cam Newton and then try to package him for Jalen Hurts?
I firmly believe that the Dolphins will draft the quarterback in the first or second round.
Well, yeah. 100%.
I think so, too.
Jalen Hurts.
Because,
please not Jake Fromm.
Because – see, my whole thing is, at the end of the day, I feel like the Dolphins and Brian Flores, they have to be competitive next year. I don't think that the Dolphins can go 5-11, 6-10, or even 7-9 and be like, that's good. I feel like worst come to worst, maybe 8-8. And I think 7-9 may be like, you know what I mean? Because we're expecting them to actually go out and get some pieces in free agency. So I feel like they have to at least go 8-8 or better. So by doing that, you're going to need someone at that quarterback position that's very competent. And again, I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick can be that guy next year.
Do they trade for the hottest quarterback right now, Ryan Tannehill?
Conspiracy theory right there. Man.
Playing really well.
Just kidding.
He is.
Just kidding.
72% completion.
Yeah.
He
is.
Oh, God.
What's
Tennessee's
wrong?
Just being lured and sucked in, boy.
God.
And they're going to make the big mistake of not drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, he's also got Derrick Henry running for 150, 160 yards behind him.
But that was always the thing with Tannehill, is he could be a solid quarterback on a solid – he was never going to be Aaron Rodgers. He was never going to be Drew Brees. But he could be Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl.
Well, to me, for the first time in God knows when, he looks –
one of the best defenses behind him.
But hold on.
But again, like, there are quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls who are not the echelon of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
I agree. Okay, so to me, the biggest difference I see in Tannehill, and this is gonna sound so subtle, but to me, he looks completely healthy for once. Because for once, he's not playing with that stupid knee brace. He's not.
You hate those knee braces.
I do, man.
Yeah, with a passion.
And again, I hate when quarterbacks wear them. It doesn't make any sense. But again, I get it for Tom Brady because he had his ACL repaired. But to me, Ryan Tannehill for the first time in a long time looks completely healthy, and I think that's playing a big part
look
in
at
his
this,
success.
Look at this text. 67974. Why are you guys giving up on Rosen?
Next.
I gave up on him before the season.
Next.
Do you watch football?
Yeah.
Do you not remember he couldn't identify the Mike linebacker as a top 10 pick?
At the end of the day,
what's wrong with you, Texter?
At the end of the day, next season, whether people want to admit it or not, is a very important season for Brian Flores. Next season is not going to be like this season to where Stephen Ross is going to say, listen, it is what it is. No, come on, Zach. Now, you know next season is a very important season for Brian
Flores.
There's
no expectations for this team to be a legitimate contender next season. None whatsoever.
Well, okay,
especially if they don't
okay.
get a quarterback, and especially if the quarterback they do get is Tua.
Well, I'm going to say this. When you have that much amount of money heading into free agency and you have all the assets they have in the draft, there has to be some type of expectation. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Brian?
Yeah, but you look at the future schedule.
5 or 6 wins.
Oh, my God. They're playing the NFC West.
Listen, that's not going to get it done next year.
And the AFC West.
I guarantee you, with all that money.
Brian Flores' job is safe till at least year 3.
Listen, with all that money
at least.
And all these assets, 5-11, 6-10, in my mind, is unacceptable next year. It is.
I don't agree with that at all.
You have 150.
So
and,
what?
And you have how many draft picks?
But they're not going to use it all.
But first of all, they're not going to go out there and get,
of course,
you know.
But
what's the caliber of player they're going to get? A Byron Jones.
But a Byron Jones
is solid.
But he's not a Pro Bowl cornerback. He's not a Pro Bowl cornerback.
My man, he's really good. He's really good, bro.
He's
really good, my man.
That's my bad on that one.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's my bad on that one.
Yeah.
They say, and he can play inside and outside. And he can cover tight ends and he can cover receivers.
I'm going to be honest with you. The fan base is not going to be happy if this Dolphin team go 5-11 or 6-10 next year. They're not.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's not.
I think it's ridiculous.
To me,
there's no expectations for this team next year.
Man, I don't think this fan base.
Oh, get out of here, Jets fan.
No, I'm serious.
I'm being serious. Yeah.
You know what?
I could look from the outside. I could look into it from the outside and be like, look, you guys would think they're going to tank this whole season.
Correct.
They won a couple of games and they played better and improved. And you have all that money that he said. You have all those draft picks.
Correct.
You got a lot of resources.
Correct.
And this is your second year, so you've already established. Hold on.
So for you guys, Brian Flores is supposed to take this roster from what it is to a potential playoff team next year? That's the expectation?
Listen,
is that what we're talking about? Because that's a little bit ridiculous.
No, listen. I didn't say playoff. I said at least 8-8.
Okay, but what's the difference between 6-10 and 8-8?
It's a difference.
Two games.
That's a difference.
That's no difference.
It is. Yeah, it's a difference.
That's no difference.
But here's the thing.
That's the difference between the 14th pick in the draft and the 17th pick in the draft.
Stop it.
That's no difference.
There's a difference between 6-10
no,
and 8-8.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It's a difference. Yeah. It's a difference, Zach.
It's a field goal that doesn't go in. That's
Stop.
What that is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Are you guys kidding
me with this?
No, you're being stubborn now.
Zach,
it's a difference. Zach, it is.
Oh, my God.
6-10 is.
First of all,
the Dolphins 5 years or 2 years ago were 10-6, and they might as well have been 6-10. There was no difference in that team.
Whoa. Okay, so now you're saying there's no difference between a 6-10 team and a 10-6 team. You're crazy now for saying that.
A couple of bounces. They won that San Diego game because Young Wei Koo couldn't make a field goal.
But that's a playoff team and not a playoff team.
The Dolphins were a legitimate playoff team that year. They got smacked in the first round.
But you still made the playoffs.
There's a difference. Listen, there's a difference between 6-10,
oh my God,
8-8. In 10-6, there's a difference.
Yeah, but here's what. Initial point that I'm going
to
say different though is that
everyone
assuming next year they have their signal caller. Who is their signal caller going to be? If they had Tua in there, then your expectations would be higher from the fan base. But if you're talking about you have a B guy in there again for one more year, the expectation for the fan base has to be lower. Has to be.
Yeah, but at the same time, I just feel like 5-11, 6-10 is not going to cut it next
okay,
year.
Okay, let's just say they keep Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua gets the medical leave. He gets a redshirt year.
Okay.
Now what do you say?
The dude's job is safe to at least year number 3.
Now what do you say? Because his signal caller is there. Everybody's happy and ready for the future, but I can't play him just yet, and I don't want to rush him.
Well, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick has shown us that with a good quality team, he can get you at least 8-10 wins because he's done it before. I think he did it
one time in his life.
What, New York, right, or Buffalo?
One time in his life.
With us.
Okay, the Jets. Now, I know he went 8-8 a few times.
Yeah, with Buffalo.
He got like 10 wins, is the most he ever had.
Okay.
And he got 8 wins a couple.
But again, listen, Zach, I'm not trying to say that the Dolphins have to be a playoff contender. I'm just saying that they have to show tremendous strides. And to me, showing tremendous strides is going at least 8-8. You know what? I'll give them 7-9. But don't fuck.
Oh.
Don't. Drop it.
But.
I've done that. Don't worry.
But
I've done that.
I caught myself. But listen.
You at least didn't say it. So.
But don't
you dumped it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
nah, we ain't dumped.
But listen, I'm sorry. Don't give me like 4-12, 5-11, and 6-10. Don't give me that. I'll come down. At least give me 7-9. Is that okay, Zach? 7-9?
7-9.
Is that okay, Brian?
7-9. I can see that. But first of all, when we get back, let's go over their future schedule because This ain't easy from what the teams look like this year.
Let's talk about it. We're so late for a bit. We have to do like four breaks in a row. We'll be back eventually here on the Roundtable on 790 The Ticket. Back here on the Roundtable.
Yes.
That's with Rashad Butler and Brian Monroe and Zach Duarte. Apparently, I'm not supposed to say anything because then I'm complaining.
Why?
Because I just got added by Manny Chang.
Manny. Pause up, Manny.
Who is still celebrating from Saturday, rightly so.
And who has like 100 different teams because this is a guy that used to have the U tattooed on his leg.
Not, I'm not going there.
You know, now.
That's not my. That's his business. I don't want to go there. Again, I'm not about the cheap shot.
Listen, I got to get Manny
a hard
time.
That ain't a cheap shot. It's the truth.
That's true, but I got to get
Manny
a hard time.
He talked trash like 10 different teams are like, my man, who do you root for? Well, I found out on Answery.com that I'm a 10th French, so I have to go for France now. Oh,
that's funny.
Oh, I'm Spanish, but I go for, I'm a Peruvian, but I go for Real Madrid because of this. And I'm like, he's naming all these championships. I'm like, bro, some in the 1950s, bro. You didn't see anything to do with that. Are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm done with that. I don't
but like,
respond.
Was I complaining about the Dolphins being 6-10?
No, weren't.
Right? Like,
no,
you brought it up, and like I retorted. You know, like, what am I supposed to do? Stay mute. Anyways, we got to go back to break.
I think we got like one more minute.
Oh my God, we got to go back to break already, man. We're gonna like lose the luster of what that conversation was there.
So, how was your remaining riptide after I left you?
Well, first of all, when we come back, we'll go over the Dolphins' schedule. We'll do the headlines and all that kind of stuff. I had a great time, man. The only thing is the Canes ruined it, dude.
Well, you know what?
The Canes ruined it. Like, I was expecting the Canes to be up by double digits so I could go out and watch the Killers. I only saw the Killers for like four songs.
Well, you know, I must admit, I'm glad I stayed because I got a chance to meet a lot of people that work on the other side of the building I don't get a chance to see during the day. So
yeah, man.
I met so many people, and I'm sorry I forgot their names already, but I know their faces.
That's okay,
that's
man.
All that matters.
That's all right. I don't want to like suck up to everybody, but good job, everybody, right?
True.
It was super fun. And man, like Brian.
And then Lynn.
Perfect weather,
man. Listen, Lynn was in shorts and sandals.
No way.
Yes, he was. Wasn't
no
he?
Way.
Yes.
He had the, shorts I don't know what you call those sandals, like when it covers your whole foot.
Oh, Jesus sandals.
Yeah.
Jesus creepers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was like cargo shorts.
Yeah, he was.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers hat. But
correct.
Yeah, everybody was out there, man. That was a lot of fun. And
it was.
Bro, the weather was.
It was amazing.
Couldn't have been any.
It was amazing.
We got there noon. It was 80 degrees. Little sunny, little, but it was breezy.
Yeah. Correct.
And then when we were off the air, it was 75 and partly cloudy.
Perfect. I'll just say this. I didn't sweat not one bit.
Yeah.
Not one bit.
He was in jeans.
Yeah, correct.
In jeans on the beach?
Yeah. That's what I said, man.
Uh-huh.
What?
Apparently none of us got this wardrobe thing right.
No, both of y'all didn't.
And you were in like your shoes that were tagged too, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Can you explain that for me real quick? Like what is going on there with the tag on the shoe?
That's like their little, I guess, signature thing.
But like, why would you wear those?
Were you wearing off whites?
Uh huh. Correct. Yeah, see, he knows. Yeah, that's their thing.
Like, that's part of the. That's the style.
Yeah, that's their thing.
That's what they do.
I've never seen that before.
It lets you know, like, that's off white.
Yeah. Of course, you're wearing tidy whitey shorts, man.
That's a little bit of a stretch there, buddy.
Okay, but okay. Listen. Pause.
You couldn't change.
Pause. Real quick.
No, they were regular bathing
suit.
The
reason.
Just short.
The only reason I wore jeans because I had some prior. I had some post engagements after that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's why I wore jeans.
You could have brought jeans with you. Put in a bag.
Car.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm not going to change like in a little small porta potties. Like, get out of here.
I would have changed right next to my car. They got boxers on.
Yeah, right.
Straight up. I would
change right in the middle of Riptide.
Yeah, done.
All right, 67974 if you want to get in. We'll get back into that discussion on the other side. We'll do your headlines as well. You can text in on the Kendall of Toyota and West Kendall of Toyota text line 67974. Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler, Brian Monroe, and Vlad Louisant on the Roundtable here on 790 The Ticket.